Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Happy Thursday, everybody. Appreciate you hanging out with us today and every day. About to get George Brimmer on the phone. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Indianapolis Colts. He's one of their beat writers. Got into a big discussion yesterday. It does seem like nationally most people are leaning Indianapolis in this deal, so we can get some inside information on Indy from him. You know, Blaine, I found one odds maker at least who said the acquisition of Julio Jones made the Colts and the Titans even to win the division. So
isn't that crazy? I'm wondering what the Colts fan base and what they're thinking down there with us with Julio, because I think Julio, every time they played, which wasn't every year, I think he had pretty good days. I don't want to speculate, but I think he did, because I remember someone telling me that he did it like multiple times. So over the last 5 years, they might have played twice, maybe three times. Julio had a Julio day.
We're talking
now
about
to have it twice in one season.
Well, he's going to have two chances. That's right. And both in the first half of the year, you've brought this up a lot. They see Indy like week three and week eight. They don't, and then why they keep not scheduling the Titans and Indy for the end of the season every year, I don't know. It always seems like the Titans and the Jaguars, but they'll be done with the Colts by the middle of the season.
Well, as long as they go 2-0, I am cool with whatever way they put them on the schedule, beginning, in, middle, later. Just get rid of those Colts there.
Yeah, Titans actually end the season at Houston this year. So there you go. Who knows what's going to happen in Houston? Who knows what's going to happen in Indy? We're about to find some of that stuff out. George Brimmer joins us now at GM Brimmer on Twitter, the Herald Bulletin newspaper, Colts beat writer, and the sports editor there. George, how in the world are you doing, man? Appreciate the time today.
Doing well. Glad to join you.
Yes, sir. So Titans fans are all abuzz about this Julio Jones trade, and you know, he went to Atlanta and got some stuff, and then he came back and he practiced, and then he's been practicing. So that trade has got Titans fans all abuzz. How are the Colts fans feeling, Colts fan base and everything, about Carson Wentz now that they've seen some of him in a Colts uniform?
Hey, you know, I think there's still some cautious optimism. You know, obviously everybody saw what happened last year, and they understand that any repeat of that is not going to go well at all in Indianapolis. But there's a lot of hope that Frank Reich and his relationship will produce something that will get this offense moving forward again. It's just been such a weird last 3 or 4 years at the quarterback position with the Andrew Luck shoulder saga, and then his retirement, and he goes through Jacoby Brissett. Philip Rivers is here for a year. So I think people are ready to find the guy who's going to be the guy. There's hope that Carson Wentz will be that guy, but you know as well as anybody, you know, this time of year, all the reports are great, but there's not been an interception thrown yet. There's not been a loss taken. You know, there's a long road ahead, but I guess the very early start is positive.
There you go. Talking Indianapolis Colts with George Brimmer.
Well, George, naturally I have to say to you, chirp, chirp, and only you know what that means, right? Right, George?
I think first bowl win in program history, right? So it's the best time to be a Ball State football fan.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I guess tell us what we're getting out of, Danico Autry and what he can provide for the Titans and what he probably can't do. Because, you know, hey, man, if the Titans have him dropping into the, you know, the curl flat area, I don't know if that's what he should be doing.
Yeah, he's definitely not a guy that you want to be in pass coverage much. He's a hard worker. I mean, that's the first thing you're getting is a guy who's going to work his butt off every day. Every game, you know, and he had his biggest games with the Colts against fellow AFC South opponents. So I think that's something that is going to fit really well here in Tennessee. You know, he tends to play really well in those divisional games. And I don't think he's going to be a double digit sack guy. That's not really who he is, but he's in that 7, 8, 9 range, you know, really solid every down kind of guy. But he's also got a lot of versatility. And I think that's something that he really showed here. He's good on the end. You know, he can come off that edge. He can stop the run as well as get after the passer. But you can move him inside in sub packages, and you don't have to worry about it. He's not going to get swallowed up down there. He's got a good quickness. And I think a lot of times that athleticism that he has, the speed that he has, it shows up more on the interior. He goes against a guard or a center. A lot of times they don't react quickly enough. He can get that pressure right up the middle, which you really want to see. and he was a leader here. You know, I think he's a guy that he doesn't say a lot, but he leads by example, and I think he's going to be somebody that the Titans are going to be really happy is on the roster.
No doubt about it. Along with George Bremer, Indianapolis Colts B writer, and a chirp chirper. That means Ball State all day, all the time. But, you know, your GM has done an exceptional job drafting Ballard. You still need to fill some holes on the roster. Where do you think those holes are as of today?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things that are really interesting because they've got some deep spots. The defensive line, I think they got the depth there they want now. It remains to be seen whether Dangolo will be ready to go this year. There's hope. They're not going to rush him. They took him with the idea that it could be a redshirt season. We'll see how that works out. But even without him, I think they feel deep there. The cornerback spot is one that's really interesting. They got two guys they feel really comfortable in. Xavier Rhodes had a great bounce-back year for him last year as a veteran. And I think Kenny Moore's really rounded into a situation where he should be in the Pro Bowl talk every year. But after that, that third spot, there's a competition going on. Rocky Sins had some trouble being a little too handsy. He's drawing flags, the big plays that he's giving up. That he's got to, you know, it's year three. He's got to find a way to clean that up. And then you've got a couple of young guys behind him. Marvell Tell is really one of the biggest mysteries on the roster because he opted out last year. So you're not 100% sure where he's at. But as a rookie, he showed some flashes, and he's got the size, the length that they want. And then Isaiah Rogers, who is a sixth-round pick out of UMass, who they really thought would make an impact on special teams. He's super fast. He showed a lot in that playoff game. He kind of got forced into action against Buffalo, and I think he might have a chance to take that spot. But if none of those three guys step up, I think that's a position that they might look at as you get towards the end of training camp, if there's a veteran still out there they could bring in. And the other one's wide receiver. I mean, everybody knows what T.Y. Hilton can do. There's a lot of hope that he's going to bring the deep ball back with Carson Wentz as his quarterback. But the rest of that group is young, unproven talent. They think Michael Pittman's going to take a step forward this year and be a big part of this team. They think Paris Campbell's healthy. He's going to be a big part. But you don't have that proven production to lean on. And so I think that's another spot where if guys don't step forward in training camp, you know, as you look at cuts and you look at other situations around the league, they might be looking to add there.
Oh, man. Going with George Bremer, and I guess one more deal for me, and that is because, you know, another graduate with me at Cathedral High, and that's Jack Doyle, who's done a great job, you know, a Hilltopper. I mean, unless there's a lot of talk here that the Titans still need a tight end. Are you guys interested in a tight end? I know you have Doyle, but, man, it's been a lot of talk. I mean, maybe it's rumors about Zach Ertz. Are you guys interested in him in too?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, the Ertz-Wright connection is obviously going to get brought up a lot, and obviously his history with Carson Wentz, you know, give Wentz another safety blanket kind of a situation with that. But I think they feel good about Kylan Granson, the rookie they drafted out of SMU. They see him as sort of that move tight end. He might even line up in the backfield a little bit, but they really like his speed. And he was a receiver for most of his career. He only, I think, the last 2 years, moved to tight end with an eye on playing that position in the NFL. I think they feel like he's a guy that they can really grow with. And then Mo Alie-Cox, he's taking steps forward every year. You know, I think they feel like he's ready for a bigger role. But that's another position that if you added somebody to it, I don't think anyone would be upset. Jack Doyle, of course, the hometown hero, you know, he just goes out every year and produces. And I think he's the one guy in that area they don't worry about at all. You got a lot of potential with the other two. And it's very much like that situation at cornerback and at wide receiver. I think if you could get a veteran, and Ertz definitely fits the bill, who could come in and know the offense and you know, get ready from day one, it's definitely a position that they'd be open to adding at.
We're on with George Bremer, Indianapolis Colts beat writer and sports editor for the Herald Bulletin.
So, George, I saw Albert Breer. We had a fun time with this yesterday. He predicted Jonathan Taylor would lead the NFL in rushing, 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns. How many carries do you think he could get in this offense? Because Derrick Henry had, I think, 146 more totes than he did last year.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how they divvy up the backfield because Marlon Mack's back, and you know they know what he can do, 900 yards, I think, 2 years ago, 1,000 yards. In 2019 or 3 years ago, sometimes 2020 just completely leaves my mind, I guess. But in 2019, he had the 1,000-yard season. And he really, last year, he tore that Achilles in the first half against Jacksonville week one. So, you know, you got to find out where he is, but there's no limitations on him right now. He's full go for camp. And I think he's going to take some of that load. The idea with Frank Reich last year going into the season was that you would have that featured back, but you would split the carries for the first three quarters, and then you've got fresh legs in the fourth quarter, kind of lean on the hot hand, try to run out the clock if you've got a lead. You know, the kind of typical game plan there. And I think you're going to see more of that now. I think they're not going to be afraid to mix in Mack. And then they also like Nyheim Hines. You know, he's sort of that, that gadget back, you know, and catch the ball out of the backfield and those kind of things. So I think, you know, the number of carries, I think it's going to be tough for him to get, you know, a really heavy load. I don't think that's the plan.
Yeah, Titans fans still having nightmares about Nyheim Hines, much less the other two guys. He celebrated his birthday here last year by just running all over the dang place. So, yeah, it's a three-headed monster for sure there. The guy on defense that seems to scare everybody, obviously, Darius Leonard. I saw a great thing about him I watched one day this spring where basically he carried that chip on his shoulder. He had read people saying he was the worst draft pick in the history of the National Football League or whatever it was. But that dude plays with a chip on his shoulder, and he's about to have a much bigger bank account, I would think, at some point soon.
Yeah, he's in line for a contract extension, both him and Braden Smith, the right tackle. I think those are the next big deals, the big moves that will be made. They've saved some money back with that in mind, and obviously Leonard's going to be one of, if not the highest paid inside backer in the league because of what he's been able to accomplish. But, yeah, that guy's motivated. He will find motivation in anything. Last year, I remember we were talking to him. I can't remember which week it was. But he was talking about Aaron Rodgers had praised somebody else after a game, one of the other linebackers. I think Fred Warner's who Rodgers had praised, and they were going to go play Green Bay that week, and he was taking that as motivation going into the Packers, saying, well, if Aaron thinks this is the best linebacker in the league, I got to go prove it to him today. So the smallest thing, the smallest detail, Darius will jump all over it. It's what fuels his fire, and it's carried him so far. I think it's working for him so far.
Talking with George Bremer, Herald Bulletin newspaper, Colts beat writer, sports editor there here on Blaine and Mickey.
Yes, George, I know we have Taylor Lewan, who tore his ACL here at offensive tackle. He's the, you know, the leader of the offensive line. I think you guys picked up Eric Fisher. Is he, you know, sketched in to be the starter, or will it be kind of play it by ear? I think what he from the Chiefs, right? He come off of an Achilles tear, maybe?
Yeah, he had Achilles in the AFC Championship game, so – It's still fairly fresh. They're optimistic that he's going to be maybe miss a month or so, but they're being very, very careful not to put any timetable on this. You know, they don't want it to be a situation where if he's not back, it's October 1st and he's not back on the field. You know, people are talking about setbacks. It's a situation where everybody's different. I mean, you know as well as anybody. Everybody's body heals a little bit differently, and you kind of got to take it situation by situation. They feel really confident right now where he's at. He's hit the benchmarks so far. He might be a little bit ahead of each of those benchmarks. So that the goal is that maybe you get him for 13 or 14 games this year, but they're going to be super careful with him. And if he misses the first month of the year, if he misses the first four or five games, they're ready for that. Once he's healthy and ready to go, he'll be the left tackle. I don't think there's much doubt about that. But until then, I think it's going to be Sam Tevi. They're going to see what they can do and how long he has to hold the fort down.
Mm. I'm always impressed with the defense there of the Colts. They're just really solid, really not a lot of big names. But I guess tell us who are some of the big pass rushers. I know you got Buckner, but who's going to be replacing Autry and who's going to be getting after the quarterback on the ends?
Yeah, the big one is going to be Kwity Paye, you know, first-round pick out of Michigan. And they feel like he's in a situation now where he can focus just on rushing the quarterback, and it's going to help him grow. The numbers will get bigger. He had a lot of hurries. Not a lot of sacks at Michigan, but he was asked to do a lot of different things on that defensive line, move around, drop in coverage at times. They feel like he's somebody who's the arrow is really pointing up with him. And we'll see. It's a big load to put on a rookie because they probably need double-digit sacks from him this year with no Houston and no Autry. On the other side, it's Kamoko Ture. They feel like he's healthy for the first time, really. He was coming on, you know, he had a decent rookie year. He was coming on in year two, and they were over in Kansas City towards the end of the game, and he suffered a gruesome ankle injury going after Patrick Mahomes, and it just never came back last year, not the way they wanted it to. There was problems with the pandemic and the way that it healed. He wasn't able to get into facilities where he thought he should be able to, and it just didn't heal the way it should. He ended up having to have a second surgery, go back in, clean it back up. He's ready to go now. They feel like he's going to be able to take a step forward, but there isn't that proven pass rusher really on the roster, and that's going to be another area that's going to be interesting to see. They have a lot of confidence in these young guys, but they've got to go out there and produce now. Without Autry, without Houston, you don't have – I think Isaac Rochelle has 9.5 sacks, and I think that's tops on the roster right now. So there's a lot of faith right now in what could be and not a lot of history behind it.
No doubt about it. With George Bremer, and I guess one more question about Wentz. And there was a lot of debate, not about really last year, but his leadership skills. How's his leadership look so far with no games played, just OTAs and minicamps and everything else? Does he seem like he's taking full control of the offense?
Yeah, I thought one of the most interesting things that came out of the preseason kind of Zoom calls that we're still in, every player, almost to a man, said he hasn't just gotten in touch with them. He wants to know about their families. You know, he's trying to talk. He's trying to find out details, personal, make that connection, that deep connection with guys. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, kind of the whispers that were coming out of Philadelphia was he was having trouble connecting with certain parts of the locker room. And it seems like he's at least working on that here early. Everybody, all the feedback from his teammates so far was, you know, he's been a great guy. He's been really engaging. And then Frank Reich is just gushing about his control at the line. But again, I think that's easy to do, you know, in the spring when you're out there and there's no defense. They were really just doing walkthrough speed during their OTAs. Hasn't gone up against an opposing defense yet. Hasn't gotten sacked. You know, hasn't even gotten hit. It'll be interesting to see how each of those kind of benchmarks clear. But so far, it seems like he's tried to work on some of the things that coming out of Philly were you know, seen as detriments. And he's won over his teammates in a short amount of time. And I think that's where the enthusiasm within the locker room is coming right now. They look at him, they see the physical talent, and they feel like he's bringing the mental part and the leadership aspect as well. We'll see how that develops over the course of what's going to be the longest season in NFL history.
George, great stuff, man. We'll have to have you on again, maybe coming up closer to the season, and we'll get to all the latest on Indian for any Colts fans who are listening or Titans fans who want to follow the Colts. They can do it through you on Twitter at GMBREMER, Herald Bulletin newspaper. Thank you, man. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, George.
No problem. Thanks a lot, guys.
Chirp, chirp.
All right. We doubled down on Ball State alums in that segment there. It's pretty good stuff.
And even get Jack Doyle in there with Cathedral graduates in high school. Yeah. See, boys, all the way, man. We are the Irish.
Well, that dude continues to torture the Titans. Every year you think, okay, this will be it.
Told Let him not retire. To cut him. Nope. They tried to sneak him up to the practice squad. They had a lot of good tight ends, by the way. Did. So they had no choice. But, man, I knew this guy was going to be good because he was a really good basketball player in high school.
Yeah, for people who don't know, he was a Titan for one preseason. Like you said, no hiding him on a practice squad.
Yeah, somebody swooped him up and it was the Colts.
Oh, yeah, of course he would wind up on a team right up the road and torture him twice a year for the next however many years it's been now, 7-8 years for Doyle.
Well, as long as we go 2-0 this year, hey, thanks, Doyle, but yeah.
All right, let's shut down the Indiana, all Indiana segment here. When we come back, he talked about some injured Colts. We'll give you an injury update on a couple Titans from themselves. Taylor Lewan, A.J. Brown, both of those guys speaking yesterday. And for all you dads, we haven't forgotten about you. Here's another chance, Dad, for you to win yourself or for anybody listening to win your dad some Judas Priest tickets. Caller number 5 now gets them. Municipal Auditorium, October 21st. Weather's going to be great. The rock and roll is going to be loud. 615-737-1045. Caller 5 will see the priest.